Welcome, welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life, brought to you by GamerGoo. My name is Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Tuesday, December 8th, 2020. And man, I got a bunch of responses yesterday for the Christmas movie question that I asked you guys. So we're going to get into those here in a little bit. Plus, we got an email coming up on the show. Plus, we got a little bit more insight into the HBO Max Warner Brothers deals. So we're going to talk about all that. But as always, before we get going, don't forget, you can always follow me on Twitter at Mark Turk at M-E-R-K-T-U-R-C. And of course, you can always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. Now, I asked you guys yesterday to send me just what are your movies, what are your Christmas movies, the must movies that you have to watch this time of year. And the first one, this is a pretty long list, but there's some good ones that I actually had forgotten. This one came to us from Matt Clark, and he says, White Christmas, hands down his favorite film ever. Now, that's the old kind of musical. If you know what that is, my wife loves White Christmas too, man. I mean, that's a movie that usually we actually watch that, or we don't always sit down to watch it, but we usually put it on Christmas Day. Like, that's the movie that just kind of plays in the background a lot of times on Christmas Day when family's over and that. He does have Elf on there, Home Alone, which, by the way, we watched the holiday movies that made us last night on Elf on Netflix. Highly recommended. I know I discussed that it was available yesterday a little bit on the show, but we did actually watch it last night. It's great. I mean, some insight into some of the things that went into making that movie, how, you know, pretty much everybody was an unknown. And even at the time, like, Old School hadn't come out with Will Ferrell. So the idea of Will Ferrell headlining a film was just like unheard of. Like, that guy from Saturday Night Live, really? You want to put him in a starring role? You know, the idea of getting James Caan in there and just what his kind of attitude on the set was, and even some of the shots they filmed kind of just around the streets of New York City, and how they only had a small film crew for those and nobody else was extras. Like, they just kind of walked around the street and did stuff. Like, it's great. Go watch it. It's an excellent, excellent just, you know, description of the creation of that movie. And like I said, there's also The Nightmare Before Christmas that we're probably going to watch too. I definitely want to see that. He has Home Alone on there, The Holiday, Christmas with the Cranks. That's one that we usually don't sit down to watch, but it's always on, like, FX, I think, always has it on. And whenever it's on, we always definitely watch it when we're kind of flipping through the channels and we see it. That is a great one with Tim Allen and, what the heck is her name? I can't think of her name right now, but it's just great movie, great movie. The Jim Carrey Grinch, of course. Muppet Christmas Carol, that seemed to be one that I'm getting a lot of people in our Discord, actually, we're talking about the Muppet Christmas Carol. That seems to be one that a lot of people really like. I mean, obviously, it is a classic now, I guess we could say. It is available, I believe, on Disney Plus, or it was on Netflix, I think, for a while. I would hope it's on Disney Plus now. But that is a great one. For me, Matt actually said that it's his favorite telling of A Christmas Carol, and that he'll argue people over it. One Christmas thing that we do watch is the Mickey's Christmas Carol. I might argue that is my favorite telling, even though it's quick. You know, as a kid, I remember when that would come on and just thinking that it was like, you know, in my head, it was like an hour, hour and a half. When you watch it now, it's over in like 22, 23 minutes. It's not even a half hour long, but it's great. For me, it's just such a classic thing. I mean, it used to always be on TV. I don't even think it's on TV anymore. I mean, I'm sure they show it on Disney Channel, but we own the DVD. We bought it when my kids were little just because it was like this. Oh, we want this to be their Christmas Carol. And so we always watch that. Charlie Brown, of course, he has on there the Garfield Christmas, which, God, I wish they would still show that on TV. I mean, Garfield, when I was a kid, was a big deal. We used to have the Garfield Show, Garfield and Friends, and you'd have the, USA Farm or whatever that other little bit was that they would do on that show. And so I think that's why we would get, like, the Garfield Christmas and all that. But Garfield's kind of gone away. Like, you don't see the Garfield stuff anymore. And then, of course, the Rankin Bass stop motions. You know, the Rudolph and Santa Claus is Coming to Town really are the two big ones. You know, I mean, there's one of the channels I remember one day was doing, like, a marathon of all the Rankin Bass. And, I mean, they just started putting out some crazy ones. There's, like, a Rudolph 2. There's, like, Rudolph New Year's. Like, all these just strange Rankin Bass specials that they made, but, like, you never see any of those. All you always see is Rudolph and the Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Let's see, actually, new Discord member, Repetske, he came up with a good list. He mentioned the Muppet Christmas Carol, saying that's one of his favorites, but he brought it to a different part or a different take, and he said A Christmas Horror Story, which I've never seen, but it sounds intriguing. I think you can get it, he said, on Prime, and he owns it on Vudu, so he watches it on there. Better Watch Out, Silent Night, Deadly Night. So all obviously kind of horror, murder-ish movies. So, you know, it sounds like him and I are kind of in the same mindset. I've talked before how, you know, my wife and I love horror movies, and even, you know, we watch like Forensic Files. I mean, literally last night we watched the Forensic Files before going to bed. It's kind of like our our nightly thing we do. And Scrooged, he has in there, of course, with Bill Murray. Like, that's such a great movie, man. If you've never seen Scrooge, it's just a classic movie. You know, obviously kind of Scrooge and Bill Murray playing, you know, kind of a, it's not necessarily a Christmas Carol, but it's kind of following those same tropes. And of course, the ghosts come and visit them. It's a great one. Let's see. TCW, of course, you got to bring it up. I mean, this is always the debate every year of Die Hard. And he does put in all caps that, yes, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I know that's always kind of up for debate as to what people think, whether it's a Christmas movie or not. But I'm with you, TCW. Die Hard is, although I will say it's not on our rotation when it comes to Christmas movies. We don't usually watch it, but I'm on the side of it being a Christmas movie. Yes, to me, any movie that takes place during the Christmas times, yes. I mean, I mentioned it in our chat yesterday. I forgot to mention this on the show. Gremlins is a Christmas movie. That's a movie that, you know, takes place during that time, and it's just a classic. Such a great movie. You know, it spawned so many toys and all that back when I was a kid, and we actually, trying to think, my kids got a little bit older. This is still years ago, but my wife was like, maybe we could watch Gremlins. And we're like, okay. We kind of put it on and saw Gizmo. And I remember my son was like, oh, he's cute. And then I was kind of looking at my wife like, we really shouldn't watch this, because, like, you know, Spike and all the other Gremlins are going to be scary as hell. So we stopped watching it, and we have not gone back to watch it with the kids. I think we've seen bits and pieces, like when it's been on TV. But I think that's one maybe this year we'll kind of jump into some Gremlins, because my wife and I like to watch it, but we never actually watched it with the kids. So maybe that's one we'll jump into this year, because they're kind of ripe now and okay with some scary stuff. You know, they still aren't really into the stuff like we are, and definitely don't watch any horror movies or anything like that. So Gremlins may be a nice little path to kind of get into some of that. I think they'll appreciate it. But let's shift gears here and talk about this Hollywood Reporter interview that came out. This is from Christopher Nolan. They were able to sit down with him and get some quotes, and I kind of get some of the backstories to what's happening here with this HBO Max deal. And one of the shocking things that came out of it for me, and I recommend you go read it, and actually there's even another article, I think, from the actor's standpoint that I've yet to read yet. But one of the interesting things that came out of this that I didn't know is that supposedly Wonder Woman 1984... of course, the first film that was announced coming to HBO Max and on Christmas Day. So we kind of got those details before we got the details about all the other movies coming. But in order to get this deal, supposedly Warner Brothers had to compensate those involved with the film. And one of the agents involved said that they're actually calling it Wonder Woman money to offset the potential lost profits from an exclusive theatrical release. So it sounds like if you worked on Wonder Woman, you're going to get paid just about the same you got paid, or would have potentially got paid, if it released in theaters. But if you worked on any of the other movies, so Mortal Kombat, Dune, Suicide Squad, Matrix 4, yeah, you're just kind of out of luck. And here's what Nolan had to say when it came to that. He said, some of our industry's biggest filmmakers and most important movie stars went to bed the night before thinking they were working for the greatest movie studio, and woke up to find out they're working for the worst streaming service. So Nolan obviously doesn't like HBO at all. Let's see. He also went on to say that Warner Brothers had an incredible machine for getting a filmmaker's work out everywhere, both in theaters and in the home, and they are dismantling it as we speak. They don't even understand what they're losing. Their decision makes no economic sense. And even the most casual Wall Street investor can see the difference between disruption and dysfunction. So there you go. Obviously, one of Hollywood's biggest directors, not pleased at all that HBO Max is doing this. Now, part of it is a little bit of a personal thing for Nolan as well, because, you know, of course, right now you got to take a step back and realize that he is, I'm sure, upset at the performance of Tenet. Tenet, of course, did release in theaters here during the pandemic and came nowhere near to meeting expectations that they thought it was going to. So obviously that was a little, a little lackluster. So he's already a little bit salty, with everything kind of happening here. But the interesting thing, and some people may not know this, his co-production, favorite, I guess the company Legendary Entertainment is seeking legal action against Warner Brothers, because they're the company behind Dune and Godzilla vs. Hong Kong, or King Kong, Hong Kong, Godzilla vs. Kong. I guess that company funded nearly 75% of both of those films, and none of these studios were approached beforehand. So that's kind of the interesting bit. Now, I guess that kind of sheds light on just the movie industry in general, and it even can kind of be the same when you look at like video games, like the publisher, they're the ones that distribute it, and they can distribute it however they want. They're the ones that dictate how many physical copies there are, whether it's going to be digital only. That's kind and also exclusivity on platforms. You know, I mean, one of the prime examples, and many of you listening to this probably played Destiny and probably know me from Guardian Radio. Destiny had exclusive content on the PlayStation. That was not a Bungie decision. That was the publisher Activision cutting those deals. So in this case, same situation. Warner Brothers being the, you know, the kind of the mother company, the ones who funded and greenlit all these films, even though Legendary Entertainment, let's say if you put them in the place of the quote unquote developer of the movie, you know, just like you have the developer of a video game, Warner Brothers is the publisher. And they can do whatever they want. They can distribute it however they feel. Obviously, they felt this was the best way to do that. Now, I actually got a talk with my brother-in-law over the weekend, and it was kind of bleeding out of what I talked about, I think, last week on the show. But, you know, this idea that maybe, just maybe, and you know, I think Nolan maybe isn't seeing the future here and where it's potentially going. But, like, I really think that this is now the turning point for movies. And I could be wrong, but like we had in music, where it was like, I'll state it again. Music was getting pirated to crap. So many people, you know, just downloading it and taking it all and illegally through Napster and all that. You had, you know, Lars from Metallica, who maybe now Nolan is the movie's Lars out there, you know, talking trash and all that. And it took Apple to stand up and say, hey, we're going to give you this music at a cheap, cheap price that's fairly minimal, cheaper than a cup of coffee. And people said, you know what? I'll pay that penny or that dollar and I'll buy that song. Maybe we're at that point with movies now where it's like people are streaming it like crazy. You know, movie theaters already pre-pandemic spent so much money on renovations, which that was the other thing my brother-in-law brought up. Like AMC, how much money did they spend renovating every single movie theater? Like every AMC theater around here now, every single actual theater themselves within the building have those recliners. Like, is that why they're so under and so just, you know, devastated by this pandemic taking away the audiences? Like, they need to recoup that money that they've spent renovating. And so maybe now we can say, all right, well, the movies are going to hit HBO Max. You can pay that cheaper price. You could see the movies there. But again, the best experience is not going to be watching it on HBO Max. Like, I look at that list and some of those, I mean, hell, even Godzilla vs. Kong. Would I go see that in theaters? Potentially, I may go with my dad because my dad loved Kong Skull Island and he just loves monster movies. Like, I remember as a kid watching Godzilla movies. So it's like, that's something that I would maybe say to my dad, hey, let's go, just him and I, let's go to the movies. The kids want to come, we go. But like, on that list, there are movies that would be better seeing in the theater. So if theaters are open, I'm going to see Dune at the theater. I'm going to see Matrix 4 at the theater. I'm not sitting at home and watching those, no matter how much I crank up my surround sound. And how, you know, I'm watching on my 65-inch in my basement, like, I'm going to the theater to see some of those movies. So I think that's the thing that Nolan might be missing, is that I don't think the HBO Max is still going to take away the theater audience. There's still going to be movies that people want to see. Now, Tenet, probably a movie people would want to see in the theaters. But when you think of, like, some other movies, you know, that maybe aren't big budget, aren't the big action blockbusters, are people going to go? I'm still going to say probably, yeah. Like the you know, rom-coms, romantic comedies, people are still going to go on dates. What are they going to do? Go out to dinner and then go back home and sit on the couch? I mean, maybe they do that after they go to the movies. I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, there's still that idea that the movie theater is a place to go. You go, it is a social place. You go with friends, you go with family. Like, I don't see the movie theaters going away by this. And, you know, maybe then that somehow they need to change that price structure of movies in theaters. But again, I know that the problem is the upper hand was always in the movie company, the movie studio's hands, right? It was always, you know, they could charge whatever they wanted to license that film to those theaters. Now, you know, essentially the theaters are going to kind of have that upper hand and say, hey, you need us. You need us to be showing those movies. You need to discount those prices a little bit. I don't know. It's a weird thing, and I don't know if it's going to be good or bad for theaters and for the movie industry. But it seems like, you know, change sometimes is scary. And obviously from Nolan's viewpoint, it clearly is, you know. But, you know, it may be something, it was just maybe needed to be that needed change. I don't know. And you know, the actors, like I said, I haven't really read the actors article. I would assume a lot of them are upset because they're probably not going to make as much money, especially those who had contracts based off points, you know, the amount of how good the movie does at the box office. I'm sure they get, you know, certain amount of money, extra money. So that's going to suck, obviously, because they're potentially not going to make as much. But, you know, maybe there's something we're missing here that they're not putting out financially yet. But it seems like, I mean, the interesting thing is it really seems like a lot of these studios and I'm assuming the actors as well were completely blindsided by this. That this had, you know, you would think that Warner would at least have done the right thing and gotten out there and kind of given them the heads up, maybe ask for some input, especially because a lot of these movies are already made. I mean, that's the interesting bit is like these movies are already made under the assumption that they were going to go into theaters. It's one thing if movies starting now know that may be the path moving forward, then you negotiate contracts kind of around that being the path. Where now, when you're just suddenly saying like, hey, we know you're going to make that movie, and yeah, like Tenet. We know this movie's probably going to make like $400 million, but you know what? We're just going to put out in the middle of a pandemic, and it's only going to make $45 million. Whoa. Like, you know, you thought I put in all this work. I was, you know, burning the midnight oil, doing everything that I could to get this thing out for you, and now suddenly I'm not even going to get close to what I made. You could see where you'd be upset as an actor or as a creator of these films. It's a bit upsetting. So I hope that they can at least find a way to do right with those actors and those working on the films, everybody on the film. I mean, obviously the film crews are huge. Do right by them and not totally screw them over with this deal. But, you know, I think until it's all said and done, we won't really know, right, until it happens. And again, I think if, you know, come next December when Dune is set to come out and these bigger films, I think people are going to go to the theaters if they can, especially just, I think so many people just want to go to the movies right now. Like, we know it's not necessarily the safest thing to do, but we just want to get to the movies. Like, we need to get there. So we'll see. We'll see. Well, I mean, we'll see how Wonder Woman does. You know, Wonder Woman, I think, will be a lot of people, even though that would be a movie I probably would go see in theaters. Obviously, in the state of things right now, nobody's going to the movies because they're not even open. But I think that coming out on Christmas, like, that's going to be the big deal. Families coming together and watching that as kind of the Christmas thing, which I think is kind of neat, actually. But we'll see. All right. Well, I do want to mention here an email that we received here yesterday, and this one comes to us from RJ Steimel, and I'll say known as Doombot410. So, Doom, thanks for sending that. He says, hey, Mark, loving the show. Been following you since Guardian Radio. Glad to see you're still podcasting and geeking out with us still. Now, I'm doing this email here at the end of the show because it is a Mandalorian Chapter 14 themed email. So if you don't want spoilers, I'll catch you tomorrow. Or fast forward just a couple minutes here because I just want to read through this. He says, I just listened to your episode on Mando Chapter 14. I agree with you. Unarmored Boba Fett is the most badass. The weapon he was using to smash the stormtrooper armor was a gaffy stick. It is a weapon the sand people used on Tatooine. It was first introduced in A New Hope. I like your idea of Cal Kestis answering Grogu's call. That would be such a great tie-in from the Rise of Empire's timeline. Ezra would be awesome, too. And if Thrawn is indeed alive, then it's a good bet Ezra is, too. Keep up the good work, dude. I'm digging the show. Thanks. Well, Doom, thanks for sending that in. The gaffy stick afterwards, yes, I did kind of figure that out, that is what that was. But he just looked badass, right? Like, so cool swinging that stick around. But you know what? The one thing I've been hearing a lot here, and I think we were talking about it in the Discord, and I was kind of talking to online with some folks about this, is the potential for a Mace Windu return. Now, people hear that and they're like, what? Mace Windu? Like, what? Well, sure, he did fly out a window in episode 3. Did we see him hit the floor? No. Jedi are pretty nimble, and Samuel Jackson has been very adamant online over these past couple of years about wanting to get back into the Star Wars universe. Could potentially a Mace Windu answering the call, or like a Cal Kestis and Mace Windu, like an old Mace Windu. Cal was able to somehow get in touch with a Mace Windu, and Mace Windu kind of finished, you know, his training for him and kind of complete that. Or even like for Ezra, or we have the ultimate team up of, you know, the Cal and Ezra with Mace Windu being their manager. I guess I'm going down the wrestling line, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, obviously, in our fans' heads, that's all we want. I don't know what it's going to be, but I didn't really consider Mace Windu. But hey, we've brought people back from the dead. Obviously, we brought Boba Fett back from the dead. You know, we've brought who else? Darth Maul back from the dead. So it's possible. Definitely possible. I mean, even Fennec herself in the Mandalorian series, dead in the first season, back with Boba Fett in this season. It's doable. So I think a Mace Windu would be cool, and I think it'd be a great nod to get Samuel Jackson back. Now, I don't know if he would be the one to answer. I mean, I guess it would make sense because it could be really any Jedi that could come and answer it. But I think he would be a little bit cooler in Ahsoka series or Thrawn. Like maybe like a one-off or two episode with him would be pretty neat. Or hell, I mean, even Obi-Wan, right? You could put him even in an Obi-Wan, in the Obi-Wan show. I think that'd be super cool if they were able to somehow pull him in. But all right. Well, let's wrap it up there. If you want to email the show just like Doom did, email me, theenthusedlife@gmail.com. I love hearing from you guys. And any topics, any questions, topics you guys got, send them in, man. It just creates content here for the show. I love that. You can always, like I said, follow me on Twitter at Marturk, M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. And of course, if you'd like to help support the show, you can find that down in the show notes. Find that link. You can hit that. Get access, exclusive access to the Discord. We're all welcoming when we get new members over there. We love it. And we're having some great discussions yesterday. And of course, big thanks as always to GamerGoo for continuing to support the show. GamerGoo, great supporter here of the show. It's that anti-perspirant for your hand. They have a bunch of different scents this time of year. I always say that it is that inexpensive gift for that gamer in your life. You can find that link down below. Just hit it, GamerGoo.com. And if you do end up purchasing some, be sure to use my promo code TEL, T-E-L, and save yourself 10% off your order. And get yourself some gamer goo or for that gamer in your life. It's a great, great product here that I know many gamers would appreciate, especially this time of year with so many games. And you know what? Cyberpunk coming out actually tomorrow night. It's going to be hitting. So if you have it digital, you can get it then. Reviews dropped. And I was going to talk about them a little bit here on the show, but running a little bit long. So we'll kind of maybe get into that a little bit tomorrow, kind of preview Cyberpunk. A little bit hit or miss. Seems like it was getting good scores, but when you kind of read the reviews, or listen to the reviews if you're watching them, whatever. Seems like it's a little bit buggy. And on top of that, reviewers could not show console footage, only PC footage, which is a little bit interesting. So we'll get into that tomorrow and talk about the preview there for Cyberpunk. So everybody, thank you here as always for tuning into the show. And until tomorrow, we'll catch you next time.